Hello and welcome to this Expert HR podcast with me, Laura Merrilees. Following the government's announcement that Fit for Work referrals are to come to an end, we will today be exploring what this means for employers and how they can plug the gap that's been left behind. Joining me on the phone to discuss these issues is Naima Chowdhury, a partner to Evershed Sutherland, who has followed the Fit for Work surveys closely from its inception to its demise and is a contributing author to Expert HR. So thanks very much for joining us, Naima. If we could kick off, please, by just reminding our listeners of what the Fit for Work assessment referral service is, or was at least, and what's now happened to it.
Of course. So, Laura, we had a situation whereby where an employee was off sick for 4 weeks, or more, or was likely to be off sick for 4 weeks or more, they could be referred to a free and impartial assessment through the Fit for Work service. The referral could be done by the employee's GP, the employee could self-refer, or the employer could refer the individual. And what the process entailed was an initial assessment to be done via phone within 2 days of the referral, with the possibility of a face-to-face assessment if one was required. Following the assessment, a return to work plan was put in place and would be sent to the employer, the employee, and the GP. And a case manager would be appointed to assess the individual's progress around this return to work plan, really to help employees get back into work. Because studies were showing that in the UK we take an excess of 130 million day sickness absence annually, and it costs the economy something like £100 billion each year. So it was thought that the Fit for Work assessment would really help reduce those figures. So the assessment was a holistic one, really covering all the barriers affecting someone's ability to come into work, rather than just looking at it from a purely medical perspective. So for example, if individuals had issues in their personal life, such as debt or family worries that were upsetting them and causing sickness absence, they would be considered within the confines of the Fit for Work referral. Now, the service is confidential, and as such, the employee could refuse their consent to disclose any information in the return to work plan that it did not want the employer to know. And what the government anticipated at the time of setting up the Fit for Work referral service in 2015 was that some 310,000 to 450,000 referrals would be made each year. But a debate in the House of Lords revealed that actually less than 10,000 referrals were made in the first full year of operation. So on the 30th of November 2017, the government issued a press release which announced that following the low referral rates, the Fit for Work service would be coming to an end in England and Wales on the 31st of March 2018 and in Scotland on the 31st of May 2018. However, if you actually go onto the Fit for Work website for England and Wales, that actually states that referrals for assessment ceased with effect from the 15th of December 2017. So they're already not taking any further referrals. Now, it's just also worth remembering that the Fit for Work service had the referral, but there was also an advice element, and that advice element will remain both online and by phone if employees wish to avail themselves of it.
So, I mean, as you're mentioning there that the service was, well, it was free, it was confidential, you said that it was impartial. You know, what you were saying in terms of those figures on long-term sickness absence, it, you know, that remains a perennial issue for so many employers. Why do you think referrals have been so low then? What do you think brought the service to an end?
I think really it's a problem that we've had with the service from the beginning, which was a lack of awareness. I don't think the publicity was great. I remember speaking to people not long after the service had come into place, and people were unaware that this service was available. I think that was a major issue, the lack of awareness. I also think there was a lack of training for GPs. There was a study by GP Magazine last year which showed that 65% of GPs had not referred a single referral under the Fit for Work scheme. There seemed to be a bit of scepticism, I think, because those that did partake in referring people, 40% of them said that no one they had referred had made a successful return to work. So I think there's that issue as well. I think also the fact that you needed the employee's consent to the assessment meant that there was no compulsion. The employee could easily turn around and say, no, I don't want to speak to a third party. I think another barrier to it was the fact that a single employee could only be referred once in 12 months, and there was an automatic discharge after 3 months, which meant that some of the more complex cases that employers often have, where people people may have been absent for a long time with complex medical conditions really weren't treatable or referable under the Fit for Work scheme. I think also for many employers, it replicated the role of their own occupational health department. Many employers did wonder what role this service actually had. So there were a multitude of factors, I would say.
As you said, the helpline and the website is still going to continue to operate. Do you think there's still support that employers can gain from those services that could be useful?
I think so. I mean, this advice is clearly going to be more generic, but I think it would be of assistance to organisations that don't have their own occupational health, and it has answers to very standard questions and conditions that you may face on a regular basis in the workplace. It also has, you know, the latest news in relation to sickness, absence and studies. So there's a big piece at the moment on mental health issues, which is a big issue with the workplace. And it also has online guidance, as well as giving you the opportunity to ask questions via a web chat or online. So it is available, but I think it's going to be more generic rather than, you know, being able to deal with matters on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, so maybe a first port of call for some sort of high-level advice or information in the first instance, and possibly something just to have up your sleeve as one resource that's out there.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there are a wealth of resources on there, and it's quite useful because they have a number of the common conditions that you may find in the workplace, such as, you know, musculoskeletal issues or other common medical conditions that an employer will come across, and they will have basic information about those conditions, how it affects them. It sets out what an employee can do to speak to the employer, what the employee should be doing to assist the employee, and then also has links to other sources of information. So I think it's a good starting point. It also has, you know, good case studies and other reference materials. I would urge people to have a look at it, particularly if they don't have their own occupational health service or if occupational health are very busy. And also sometimes, you know, if you're referring to a third party website, then an employee may be more willing to hear what you have to say about what you can and can't do, rather than being suspicious of occupational health and thinking, well, occupational health are just going to say what the managers want them to say. So it is there, and there is a possibility of, you know, asking your own questions via a web chat. How far, you know, they would be willing to advise you via the web chat, I don't know. I haven't tried it. But I certainly would recommend it as a first port of call if you're not quite sure where to start.
So when employers are trying to get the best information that they can to make their decisions based on somebody who's long-term sick, you know, have you got any sort of advice, Naeem, or top tips in terms of what employers should be doing to get the best quality advice and perhaps where some employers go wrong?
I think you need to be very specific with your questions and the information you give occupational health. So you need to be very clear that this is the job that the individual is doing, this is what it entails, what are the barriers that, you know, are preventing the individual from doing their job, are those barriers long-term, short-term, and how can we assist the individual, enabling them to carry out their duty. So simply asking occupational health to put everything down on paper without really guiding them as to what you need them to do, it's very important. And I think it's always helpful where occupational health are prepared to be open and not really sit on the fence as to what the issues are. The other thing that I see quite regularly is employers have a tendency to want occupational health or the employee's GP to confirm whether or not an individual is disabled for the purposes of the Equality Act. And that is not really a medical question. That is a legal question. There have been a number of cases where the employer has blindly followed what the GP or occupational health has said, and the court has said, well, no, they should have applied their own mind to it. So what an employee needs to be doing is getting the information from the GP or occupational health and then assessing whether they think the individual fulfills the definition of disability under the Equality Act. And what I would say is, if in doubt, then you can't go wrong if you treat the individual as if they are disabled and comply with any duty to carry out reasonable adjustments. Because if they're not disabled, at least you will have tried to assist them and you will have put the adjustments in place.
Yeah, no, that's sound advice. Well, thanks very much, Naeema. And to support you in managing long-term sickness absence, we have a wealth of documents on the site, including how-to guides, line manager briefings, and model policies and documents. Well, thanks very much for listening, and we look forward to you joining us next time.